this love for us. Let's sing this. Here we go. Sing, nothing can tear us from.
Nothing can tear us from. The grip of His affection, who whispers of His heart and passion, is pouring down. His love is deep, His love is wide, and it covers us. His love is fierce, His love is strong, it is glorious. His love is sweet, His love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life.
The Father loves.
The Father loves and sends His Son. The Son lays down His life for all. He lavishes in love upon us. He calls us now His sons and daughters. He's reaching out. Love is deep, love is wide, and it covers us. Love is fierce, love is strong, it's furious. Love is sweet, love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life.
Sing, His love is deep.
His love is deep, love is wide, and it covers us. His love is fierce, His love is strong, it is furious. His love is sweet, His love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life.
Sing it out!
His love is deep, His love is wide, and it covers us. His love is fierce, His love is strong, it's furious. Your love is sweet, your love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life.
Sing that again.
His love is deep, His love is wide, and it covers us. Your love is fierce, His love is strong, it's glorious. Your love is sweet, your love is wild, and it's waking hearts to life.
Let's sing it one more time. His love is deep.
His love is deep. His love is wide, and it covers us. His love is fierce. His love is strong. It's furious. His love is sweet. His love is wide, and it's waking hearts to life.
Let's pray together as we open up this morning. God, that's what we ask, that we just open up this morning with this. You cover us in Your love. We come in here as beloved sons and daughters of a God Most High. Amen. You can have a seat as Cecilia comes on up and shares us our news this morning.
Good morning. We welcome everyone here this morning to Quest Church. We're glad you were able to make it. We're happy to see you and your families. And our one big announcement that we have for today is Baptism Sunday. 2 weeks, October 14th. Yes, I got a cheer in the house for Baptism Sunday. All right, I love it. Yes, rock on, Jesus. No, that was fantastic. And so what baptism is right, it's a reaffirmation of your faith that you belong to Christ, and it's a public affirmation. So we invite you, your children, to get baptized. And if you have any questions, you can contact Linda at the office. That's linda@questwire.com, or you can mark it on the welcome card. And we're glad to see you again.
So we are really lucky today to have a guest, a speaker with us, and Sylvester Witherall, and pastor, and he is here from Springfield this morning, and Casey will give a better, more formal introduction. But as Cecilia mentioned, we have Baptism Sunday, and as it just kind of dawned on me, I was going to kind of intro our next song that we're singing called Testimony, and Cecilia is actually an attorney. Hopefully that's okay that I share that. And as I was looking up the term testimony this morning, just to kind of share, one of the definitions I saw is evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. Would you confirm that? Cecilia says yes, so that is a good definition from an official attorney in the house of the term testimony. So we're going to sing this new song called Testimony. And as I was kind of singing this week, kind of praying through this song, it kind of dawned on me that, you know, that was a word kind of growing up in the church we heard a lot, testimony. We don't really hear that term, you know, at least in these circles these days. We don't hear the word testimony. In the Quest world, we've called it my stories, of just ways and sharing with each other the proof of God being in our life and the change in our life that has come from just the gospel being alive and being well in our lives. And so the baptism Sundays that we have, you know, you may have heard some of the cheers this morning. Those are really honestly our favorite Sundays that we have here. And so we really highly encourage you to come back and visit during baptism Sunday. So let's start off this morning and let's stand together as we sing the song Testimony. We sing, I was lost and I am found. I was blind. Now all I see, only this. Jesus is my testimony. That's what we sing. So let's sing together. Grace has a voice and it called my name and came before I called. Mercy was willing and it took my place and came before I called. See that? You came. You came before I called. I was lost, now I am found. Was blind, now all I see. Jesus is my testimony. Every curse is in the grave. My whole life has been redeemed from sin. Jesus is my testimony. Love is the nail, sing it. Love is the nails, it's the crown of thorns. For the cross has changed it all. Love like the world has never seen before. For the cross has changed it all. Yes, the cross has changed it. I was lost. I was lost, now I am found. I was blind, now all I see. Only this, Jesus is my testimony. Every curse is in the grave. My whole life has been redeemed, free from sin. Jesus is my testimony. See that again. I was lost, now I am found. I was blind, now all I see. Only this, Jesus is my testimony. Every curse is in the grave. My whole life has been redeemed, free from sin. Jesus is my testimony. See, hallelujah. 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 He is risen. Let my song ever be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is finished. This is my victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
hallelujah. He is risen. My song ever be hallelujah, hallelujah. It is finished. This is my victory from the beginning to the end. And for all eternity, I will sing. Jesus is my testimony. I was lost, now I am found. I was blind, now all I see. Only this, Jesus is my testimony. Every curse is in a grave. My whole life has been. I was lost, now I am found. I was blind, now all I see. Only this, Jesus is my testimony. Every curse is in the grave. My whole life has been redeemed. Free from sin, free from sin. Jesus is my testimony. Treasure of greatest price, He faithful again and again. Jesus, Your love never ends.
Sovereign.
Sovereign in all that You do, refuge, my hope is in You. Mighty, Your enemies fall. Jesus, You reign over all. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You'll always be.
Sing that again. It's who You are.
It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You'll always be. Seeker, finding the lost. Savior, bearing my
worthy, sing it.
Worthy, Your Lamb that was slain. Jesus, great is Your name. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You'll always be. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You'll always be.
Sing Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Yesterday, today, forever, You're the same. Everlasting, never failing. Yesterday, today, forever, You're the same.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Yesterday, today, forever, You're the same. Everlasting, never failing. Yesterday, today, forever, You're the same. Yesterday, today, forever, You're the same.
It's who You are.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you'll always be. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you'll always be. Sing it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you'll always be. You know. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you'll always be.
Let's just take the next few minutes. Let's close our eyes right where we are. As we were singing that bridge, I just feel the Holy Spirit just nudging us this morning, nudging me at least. I feel like this week, in a lot of different ways, I feel that this, our lives, this, our town, this country, everything, I can feel like it's just being ripped apart. Maybe we've come this morning with something in our personal lives that we brought in here that it feels like we feel like we're not whole. Maybe our family has been ripped apart. Something in our work. And I know I need reminded this morning that we have come here not by accident, but on purpose, to worship a God that has been the same, is the same, and will always be the same. With the unknowns in our life and in whatever's around us, we worship a God that is a rock. It is the same God today as it was thousands of years ago. And I just pray this morning as we sing these words that we can be comforted, we can be emboldened to be a non-anxious presence in today's times. Sing that bridge again. Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, yesterday, today, forever, you're the same. Everlasting, never failing. Yesterday, today, forever, you're the same. Jesus, Jesus, yesterday, today, forever, you're the same. Everlasting, never failing. Yesterday, today, forever, you're the same. Yesterday, today, forever, you're the same. Yesterday, today, forever, you're the same.
God, that's what we need to be reminded of. That you are what is unchanging. We are so thankful we get to come here and worship you week after week together with other people who are just trying to do our best to be Christ followers in this world. Granted. Amen. You can have a seat.
Good morning again and welcome to Quest Church, a community of grace. For those of you who I have not had the blessing of meeting yet, my name is Casey. I have the privilege of being pastor here. And again, whether it's your first time or 101st time, we're really glad that you made it a priority to be in worship this morning. I'm convinced you're going to be blessed, not because I'm preaching, because I'm not, but because my colleague and friend Sylvester is going to be bringing the word to us this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to read our scripture reading for today and then introduce you to my colleague and my friend. Just to follow up on our last series, we just finished up a series called Anxious About Everything, kind of a playoff of Paul's words in Philippians 4 where he says, be anxious for nothing. And throughout that series, I had several people telling me how timely that series was or how helpful it was. And that's always one of the things I'm praying is that the word that we bring forth from Scripture is going to be a true blessing into people's lives. And last week, we talked about what it means to be a non-anxious presence, to not be kind of losing your cool while everybody else around you is. And somebody sent me a story that kind of captures the image of a non-anxious presence. I wanted to share this with you today. It's from a newspaper clipping about a fire that took place, I believe, in Washington, D.C. The headline is, Man Found Alive 5 years, 5 days, not 5 years, 5 days after the fire. Well, that'd be something. Here's what it says. Engineers inspecting the wreckage of a public housing complex gutted by fire 5 days ago found a 74-year-old tenant inside alive and well. The discovery of the elderly survivor adds an improbable postscript to the fire that struck the complex. And then the final paragraph, a team of engineers was examining the damaged building to assess its structural integrity when they heard the man shouting. They pried open his jammed apartment door and found him calmly sitting in a chair. And later on, he said, I was waiting with my God while I was waiting for rescue. Now, friends, that's a non-anxious presence. To sit calmly in the chair for 5 days while you are awaiting rescue. Well, this morning, we're going to continue to think about what it means to be a Christ-centered presence, especially in our culture. And our reading from Scripture comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6. If you're looking in the Bible provided in the seating area, it's on page 801. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible of your own in some readable English, you're welcome to take that one as a gift to you. But it's on page 801, Ephesians 6. We're going to read verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keeping on praying for all the Lord's people. And we pray that God will add blessing to this reading of His Word. I'm pleased to welcome and introduce to you today my colleague and friend, Sylvester Weatherall. Sylvester is a native of St. Louis and is a graduate of McKendree College and of Eden Theological Seminary in St. Louis. He has served numerous churches throughout Illinois, especially in the East St. Louis area and in Springfield. The last few years, his ministry has been to oversee churches and pastors by what we call as a district superintendent in the United Methodist Church. He lives in Springfield, and he basically helps us to stay stay on track, make sure the churches and pastors have what they need. And he works with our bishop, Bishop Frank Beard, who, by the way, is going to be coming to visit us this December and bring a word to us then. So I'm excited about that. Maybe you're priming the pump for the bishop. I don't know. But he's just done wonderful ministry. And you know, there's a secret. Pastors talk. We talk to each other, and we talk about ministries that are doing well. And among all the pastors that I've talked to, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say an ill word about Sylvester or his ministry, only just celebrating what God is up to in his ministry. I got to hang out with him a couple years ago. We went to visit a seminary trying to recruit pastors to come back and serve here in Illinois, and we got to know each other a bit through that. And I thought, when I got here to Quest, I thought, I got to get Sylvester to come here and preach. So would you welcome our brother and friend, Sylvester Weatherall.
Thank you, Casey. I appreciate you giving me that long and glowing introduction. You could have just told him what I really do, whatever the bishop says. Let us pray. Spirit of living God, fall fresh now on this preacher. Amen. I think I ought to tell you, Casey, why I am a Methodist. I grew up in East St. Louis before we became United Methodists. And my family were Baptists. And in my home, you went to church or you didn't live in that home. They drew a line in the sand that for God we'll live and for God we'll die. But they never left the walls of the church. Being a teenager in East St. Louis, I watched as my friends were being killed by gangs. I watched drugs overtake our community and became the business of the day. In the meanwhile, we were singing, "Bless we now our God," inside of the walls of the church. I watched as men and women were destroyed mentally, physically. Meanwhile, we were singing, "The church is one foundation." And one day, Casey, I got tired of doing that. And the church was absolutely irrelevant to me. And at 13 years old, I took my mother and father up on their offer. I left their house because I had become great at stealing, killing, robbing, and selling drugs. I was the foremost expert. And I had absolutely no use for their Christianity, their God, or their church that locked up on Sunday morning behind pretty windows and padded pews and talked about how good their God was while East St. Louis was literally on fire. They burned down our entire neighborhood. And the house that my mother said I could not live in because I didn't want to go to church went up in flames. And they still sang, "Now we thank thee, now our God." That was not a movement I wanted to be a part of. That was not a movement that said to me, our God is an awesome God, that our God gives us marching orders to go out in the world and tell the world this is not acceptable. We will not allow people to be dehumanized and to be destroyed. And into that, in 1968, April 4th, Martin King assassinated. Was the one hope I had for the church because I enjoyed his sermons. I enjoyed his stance that the church must nonviolently move outside of the walls and begin to say, you can't allow this to happen. assassinated April 4th. A month later, the General Conference of the United Methodist Church, well, the Methodist Church, met. And we had been arguing for years over whether we were going to ordain women or whether or not minorities could be a part of the whole umbrella of the church. While King was out arguing about justice and feeding people and stopping wars. Into that, a little band of evangelical United Brethren, and you appreciate this, Mike, they had no money, they had no power, they had nothing to offer the United Methodist Church other than spirituality. And at the General Conference at that time, it was said, we will never merge with the Evangelical United Brethren. We have nothing to gain. Because the United Evangelical United Brethren would say, we wouldn't even think about merging with you until you get rid of that apartheid that you call the central jurisdiction, where you have all of the African Americans in one conference and won't let them worship with you. We will not think about joining you in your religion unless you unequivocally say that women have the right to be ordained like men. And do you know it passed? Overwhelmingly, the General Conference decided that they were going to take a stance in a torn world and say that United Methodists would not stand for segregation on no level, not from women, not on the basis of race, and not on the basis of injustice due to poverty. And that's why I'm United Methodist. Because finally, I found a church that will stand and say, we will not take this. Fast forward, 2018. The church is called upon to bless backpacks before kids go to school. Pray that those who wear them will not be harmed by deranged people. The church is called to make sense out of why people can't even go to a movie theater and may stand the chance of not coming home because some deranged person decided that they were not human enough to be worth living. Fast forward, 2018. An argument over whether you should park in a handicapped parking spot leads to you being killed. And I say to myself, Mike, where is my beloved United Methodist Church in 2018? Where are we? Have we ran behind these beautiful walls so that we're now rendered ourselves irrelevant? Or are we so busy trying to preserve a system that God does not honor? Or are we in the position that God wants us to be? I remember the slogan. You know, the Marines have a slogan, the few, the proud, the Marines. But I'm just old enough to remember when their statement, we're looking for a few good men and women with the medal to be Marines. Not that the Marines expected those who joined them to have the kind of mettle that they were already shaped into being soldiers, shaped into taking orders, shaped into being loving one another, shaped in not leaving no man behind, shaped in going to war for a country that they love. But the mettle had to be pliable so that it could be shaped into what it meant to be a Marine. And I came here today to say God is looking for a few good men and women with the faith to believe that the one that began a great work in you is faithful to perform it to the end. God is calling a few good men and women that are willing to stand up in the society and say that my God will not allow me to be silent while people are being dehumanized, by injustice is breaking the land, while folk are going to bed hungry, while children can't sit in a classroom and learn without the fear of being killed. My God died on the cross because he went against all the rules of the day. My God hung between two thieves who were legitimate crooks and looked on either side of them and said, you're going to be with me in paradise. My God didn't stay locked up inside the Roman, the Jewish synagogue and begin to profess a religion that says, as long as we stay in here, we're going to be saved, sanctified, and full of God's Spirit. Into that, God calls us to put our faith in action, to action. Faith is not passive. Faith is not enjoying a beautiful praise team on Sunday morning in 70-degree weather. Faith means that God has something for me to do. The kind of faith that LeMay Jibui had. LeMay Jibui, a decade of civil war, had stripped her of all of her faith in God. A decade of hiding, watching her husband and sons hiding from brutal dictators' guns, had stripped her of all thoughts that God could save and God would heal. A decade of watching her sisters being brutally raped and used as sex slaves had taught her that the church was of no use in Liberia. A decade of watching children and women who were just trying to walk to a land, a place where they had a refugee camp. My own wife said, as she was leaving Monrovia, trying to get to Ghana, she was wounded and shot by a 12-year-old kid with a gun who had been taught to hate rather than to love. LeMay Jibui said, one night in the middle of the morning, she said, I didn't see a face. I didn't really hear a voice that I could recognize, but as sure as I am LeMay Jibui, I heard God speak to me and say, do something about this foolishness in your country. And she said, surely, in her book, she said, surely, not me, God. I'm a fornicator. I curse you. I drink too much. I lie too much. Not me. So she tried to download it to the Christians. So she went to the Christian churches, the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Catholics, and she said, you know, God is calling us to rally and do something. They didn't want to hear her. So she went to the Muslims, and she went to their temple, and she said, you know, God is calling us to do something. And the women said to her, you know what? The carrier of the vision must be the bearer of the vision. In other words, you can't download this to us. If God gave it to you, you do something. And she did. She organized Christian and Muslim women in Africa. Did I mention this was in Liberia? Christian women and Muslim women laid down their differences and didn't talk about Jesus and Allah. They talked about God, who could utilize them to save a country. And they got together, and Charles Taylor and his regime were having a conference in Ghana. And 200 of those women had tried to get their imams, when they're Muslim, and their pastors as Christians to join them in a peaceful protest against the war in Liberia, and they wouldn't. So 200 women dressed in white surrounded the place where Charles Taylor, and the talks were being held. And they said, we will not move, and we will not let you out until you do something about this foolishness in our country. And for days, those women stood there. And every time the men wanted to leave, the women threatened to take off their clothes. You see, it was an abomination for women to be naked in public in Liberia. The men couldn't stand it. Can you imagine? She could have been shot on the spot. Nothing said. She could have been brutally raped and dragged through the streets. Nothing could have been said. But her faith in God said she must stand against the wiles of the devil. And you know what? They stood so long until they did end the war in Liberia. And then they said, because God has enabled us to stand against this foolishness, they found a young woman who married a native Liberian. See, the war was against the native Liberians and the AmeriCorps Liberians. She was an AmeriCorps Liberian. She married a native Liberian, educated in America. And they decided God was calling them to elect the first woman president on the continent of Africa. So they found this United Methodist woman, and they said to President Sirleaf, you have what it takes to lead our country into peace. And they did. That kind of faith is what God is calling the United States and those of us who proclaim to be Christians to have. Not to fight, but to stand. Paul says, God has given us weapons, not offensive weapons, defensive weapons. The helmet of salvation protects you from anything coming in, ruining your mind, perverting your thoughts. The breastplate of righteousness protects your heart to make sure that you have the purity and the love of God all the time. The belt enables you to not worry about your clothes falling down. Shoes that will prevent you from stumbling and falling because somebody has placed obstacles in your way. Not offensive weapons, defensive weapons. To enable you to stand and tell somebody, I believe in God because God believes in me. I believe that God will deliver us because I've seen God deliver before. I believe that God neither goes on vacation, God never sleeps, and God never leaves me alone. And all I need to do is be able to stand and tell a dying world, but there is God. And with God on my side, that's more than the whole world against me. Paul says, do you not understand that y'all are arguing with each other over foolishness? And it ain't even about you. You ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. Why are you arguing with your brothers and your sisters? We were wrestling with evil in high places. And we tend to think that was just government in the church. We are wrestling against evil in high places. And it's hard to stand when those who you believe in are doing wicked stuff. So Paul says, you need to be dressed if you're going to be a Christian. You need to have on some stuff that will enable you to stand. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't got nothing against clothing. I have never passed the mall and not drop some money. But Paul is talking about clothes that money won't buy. Clothes that Jesus Christ died on the cross so we could be dressed with. Clothes that will enable you to speak truth to power, even if it's a bishop in the United Methodist Church. Power that won't let you fight. You know, you don't need to be the best boxer of the day. You just need to be able to stand and be able to say, I will not back down while children are being killed in classrooms. I will not be silent while I'm afraid for my teenage daughter to go to a movie theater. I will not be silent and sing praises to the Lord on Sunday and do nothing on Monday, when children are going to bed in the richest country in the world, hungry tonight. Paul says, you need to stand, Christians. And if ever there was a time to stand, it's now. So Paul says, you have all of these defensive weapons that are not meant for you to fight, and it's not meant for you to fight your sisters and brothers with. See, we tend to think sometimes in the church that those things were given so we could fight each other over who's got the best religion. Is it the Methodist? Is it the Church of God in Christ? They're not meant to fight us. They're meant for us to stand and proclaim the truth of God's love. So much so that God was willing to go to a God-forsaken cross for me. He says, though, wait a minute. What just racked my mind is I got all of those defensive weapons. Shield, helmet, boots, belt. And then he says, take the sword. The sword. Now, sword, to me, that's an offensive weapon. Yeah. That is meant to do battle. And then he clarifies it. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it brought me back to when Jesus was in the wilderness. You remember that? And the devil was out there with him. And he says, why don't you just throw yourself down from this high cliff so that the angels will carry you and rest you softly on the ground? And Jesus said, we shall not tempt the Lord our God. And every time the devil tried to get Jesus to do something contrary to God's will, he came right back and quoted the truth of God's love. That's the sword. The sword is not to be offensive. The sword is to say, it's not my fight. I don't think I'm ready to shout right there. The battle is not even yours. It's not even about you. God wants you to stand because there's a wicked one, and Paul names it. He says there's a devil that does not want you to stand for the Lord. There's an evil presence in the world that's trying to destroy your witness of God. And God is saying, I will not allow that to happen. Get dressed. You know, you put on your suit and you get ready to stand and see the salvation of God. God is doing great and powerful things around the world in and through Christians. Don't you let MSNBC and CNN and Fox and ABC convince you otherwise. You keep standing and say, you know what? I graduated from East St. Louis Senior High School. I couldn't even read, but I played football. And got a football scholarship to Grambling State University. Couldn't even pass the test to get in. God called me to ministry. And the Methodist Church said, oh, you got to get some education. We ain't just letting anybody in here. You got to be able to prove that you could at least read the scripture. So I went to the only school that I knew had anything to do with Methodists, McKendree. Private liberal arts school. Snooty little college. And a nun came to me, Sister Gabrielle Rowe. She was professor of English. She was also over the learning center. She says, we don't even usually let people in here that can't read. But if you'll promise me that you'll come to the learning center and allow me to help you read, we'll let you stay. She cried on the front row when I graduated summa cum laude. That's what God can do. And no devil is going to make me lie down and say God is not capable of doing it again today. No evil forces in the world is going to make me stop saying this is God's world. We were born one nation under God. And I believe that we still are a nation under God. And I'm willing to stand and say when I'm weak, God is strong. When I'm in despair, God gives me hope. When I feel like I can't make it, he picks me up. When my spirit says lay down, he enables me to stand. Because I read the end of the book. We win. This is all a facade of the evil one. And God is calling us to stand so children can see a better way. Do you not know that 70% of millennials believe in God, but they don't believe in the church? 70%. They are calling us to come away from this. Allow this to empower you. Allow the singing and the prayers in here to give you the kind of strength to go out there and say, you know, I was in the hospital and I was in there for 2 weeks. The first 2 days, the pastor came to see me. But after a week, nobody came to see me. But God comforted me and said to me, you're still my child, even in this hospital bed. You know what? I am standing. You got to tell the world this, because I watch my children and my grandchildren going wayward. And I talked and I talked till I was blue in the face. And finally, I got down on my knees. And I said, Lord, I can't do it no more. If you don't protect them, who will? If you don't help them see the right place, who will? And do you know my children and my grandchildren now are serving the Lord in Taiwan? They're serving the Lord in Honduras. All because I had the audacity to pray. Your witness may not be a kid from East St. Louis, hard streets, to become a pastor in the United Methodist Church. That may not be your story, but you have a story. And all God is asking us to do, all God is asking us to do, is to stand up and tell that story. Amen.
There, Sean. So who else just wants to take Sylvester like with him to work tomorrow and just pump you up on your way? Thank you so much for that. Let's stand together as we, is this on? Let's stand together as we sing. We'll sing of that living hope we just heard about. Let's close this morning as we sing. How great the chasm, how great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine? Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living home. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living came the morning. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Let's sing them one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me.
You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Amen. I feel like Sylvester's word to us this morning kind of put an exclamation point on one of the things the Lord's just been speaking to me personally the last month or so, which is, if you do believe all this stuff, then live like it. Then don't walk around defeated. Don't walk around in despair. Call upon my mighty power and stand. And friends, I think that's the charge that God gives to us today. To go and to stand. And so I charge you to go and stand in the mighty power of God, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.